Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And a good Wednesday afternoon to you. Evan and Tiki on The Fan. There is a lot to discuss. We'll get you set for a Yankee-Royal Game 3 of the American League Division Series a little bit later on. Aaron Rodgers has responded to the shocking news around the firing of Robert Saleh, and we've got a giant injury update we'll get to as this show rolls on. But last night in Queens, New York Met fans got to experience something they have not experienced in a very, very long time. A playoff game in their own building with a fan base with confidence. A fan base who sat there when Pete Alonso brought the stadium down with a home run, when Jesse Winker went upper tank, witnessing the brilliant pitching performance of Sean Manaea. I got this sense watching this game on TV, and tonight will be different because I'm going to try to go after the show.
Stop it.
I'm going to try.
Stop it. Evan, you're going to frustrate me today. I can just feel it.
I'm not frustrated. I'm a happy man.
I could just feel it.
But the Mets delivered, and I gotta hand it to the man himself. On the show yesterday, I said he's not an ace, he's just the Mets' best pitcher. Last night, Sean Manaea officially became the tribal chief of this Met rotation as he delivered an ace-like, gutsy, ballsy, incredible performance.
Of course he did. And I don't know why you didn't expect anything else than that, because that's what he's been. And you should expect the same from Quintana tonight, because that's what he's been over his last six or so starts. Expect the best. And if you don't, I'm kicking you out of here, Evan. I'm just telling you right now.
Only if I expect the best?
Right. Well, because your mind takes you to negativity.
It does.
Your mind takes you to the Met history, which I'm just, forget it. Current history is what matters most. But I was just thinking about something on the way in, because all we've been positioning since this series started was the Phillies are the best team in the National League East. The Phillies are one of the best teams in baseball. The Phillies are the best teams in the National League. It's them and the Dodgers. Are they really? I mean, they were at the beginning of the season, obviously, when they ran out to that massive lead, whatever they were, 20-something games over 500. But since that London series game, which Evan Roberts happened to be at,
yes,
you should have took that positivity and carried it with you for the rest of the season. So all those negative moments that you put us through, that game watch a week ago or less than a week ago on Monday that you made us suffer through, you should have just taken that. Because here's the reality. The Mets are supposed to win this series because they're better than the Phillies. Because when you go back to that moment, that London series moment, the Phillies are average, like 50 and 49 or something, like whatever it is. They're average, whereas the Mets have been one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball. So as I was thinking about this coming in my mind, I'm saying, why shouldn't the Mets have supposed to win this game, right? This series. Aren't they supposed to be the better team?
You have facts. I mean, Tiki has facts that I can't even argue with. Like, if you go back to that London series, and who the hell thought that the Mets, after that London series, they lost an ugly one, they won a great one, and even the game they won was not overly impressive. But who would have thought that, you're right, since that date, the New York Mets are 62-38. That's good enough to be the second best team in Major League Baseball, the only team with a better record, the San Diego Padres. More on them potentially later.
Up 2-1 on the Dodgers.
That's for a different day and a different discussion. But you're right. The Mets since that point are 62-38, and the Phillies are 51-48. The Mets are 10.5 games better than the Philadelphia Phillies. And Keith Hernandez said something
right at the end of the regular season. He said, the Phillies won the NL East, congratulations, but if you extended this season by a few more weeks, the Mets were going to catch them. So I think you're right in terms of the facts. Like, the facts are on your side. The Mets have been a better team than the Phillies for a while now. I think my respect for Philadelphia comes from what they've accomplished in October over the last 2 years.
Right.
That I see a team, whether it's Nick Castellanos, who came through with big hits in Game 2, whether it's Bryce Harper, whether it's Trey Turner, whether it's Zach Wheeler, who's a looming presence for a potential Game 5, whether it's Ranger Suarez, who the Mets are going to have to deal with tonight. Like, I see a lot of guys, and trust me, I hate the Phillies, but I respect the Phillies. They are not some whatever losing bunch of group.
No, like, not at all.
They're a tough out, and that's why I went into this series, and I still kind of have that boogeyman feel to them. Like, I don't think it's going to be easy. Last night, in a weird way, was sort of easy. Like, outside of Manaea putting the first two guys on base in the sixth inning, and then he brilliantly struck out Bryce Harper and got a little lucky getting Castellanos to line into the double play, like, it was almost a relatively stress-free game, which is kind of crazy to say.
Right.
Like, they never had that moment of, oh my God, this is going to end badly. There were some signs, like bases loaded, nobody out, they can't score until Starling Marte bails everybody out. I just can't imagine, and I feel this way going into tonight, or late afternoon, and I know a lot of Met fans are already in the car, they're driving over to Citi Field. I'll see you at some point tonight, maybe the eighth inning, we'll see. Knowing the Mets, the team I love, and everything you said, Teak, I can't deny what they've been since June. Knowing the Mets, this ain't going to be easy tonight.
But why
does anybody
why
think it's going to be
why
easy?
Why can't it be easy? And by the way, you're probably right. It's not going to be easy because it's playoff baseball, and the Phillies have a recent history of being really good in the playoffs. But how's it? Quintana's been amazing.
He's been brilliant.
And you have him on the mound.
And Ranger Suarez has been terrible for the Phillies. Right, I get it.
So,
I understand.
So, like, in your mind, we always, we got to hit. We got to hit. You got to get, got to put runs, quicken numbers, create traffic, make it taxful for the Phillies. But really, it's just have great pitching. And that's what they had yesterday.
They've had
and
Sean
Manaea. And they're likely to have it tonight with Quintana.
Look, the reason.
So why don't you feel comfortable and confident? Because you have the better pitcher.
Okay, so I'll give you
two. You also have the better clutch hitters.
Yeah,
right?
so far.
You have the right ass
so far.
And Winker. Right? So,
did you just say the right ass
yes,
and Winker?
Ass. I mean, that he's because that's what he is to everybody else.
Yes.
Right? Pimping a home run. I mean, standing there for what, 30 seconds?
I loved it.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Is it an upper tank? I mean, you got to love what this team is. And they have the advantage. And they've been the best team in baseball.
I love this team. Here's why. I have this weird feeling
God, come on, Evan.
I haven't even said anything, and you're already assuming the worst.
Because I know.
I have this weird feeling that the Mets are not going to complete the mission tonight. And I have this weird feeling that on Friday, hopefully Friday night, they will. And the reason I feel that way, and I would say overall that's confidence, because what I'm telling you is I think the Mets are going to win this series. And how often do I say that? You know, I'm not a jukebox like Positive Tommy. Like, that doesn't always come out of my mouth. Because I feel like this is a jukebox. This is who the Mets are. Like, think about the way this season has gone. And you're right about what they've done since June, 62 and 38 since London. But think about the final road trip of the year and how exciting they needed to make it before they clinched a playoff spot. Think about the wild card series against Milwaukee. It was about to be easy. They have a lead in game 2. They're about to sweep the Brewers. Then they lose. Then they're losing game 3. And we needed to be saved by our hero, Pete Alonso. Right?
Yes.
They don't make things easy. They're game 2. They've got a 3-run lead. Oh, my God. They're going to go up 2-0 on the Phillies. This is going to be easy. And then it's not. So the DNA of this team is that while they'll find a way, and at the end of the day, find a way. That's all that matters. Their DNA tells me they're going to give us a roller coaster ride to get there. Winning tonight seems so neat and organized. Feels like 99 or 2000. Feels like what the Phillies did the last 2 years to Atlanta. But that's not who this team is. This team gives us heart palpitations.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just team does weird, crazy crap. And what would be weirder and crazier than losing this game tonight, but then finding a way to go into the belly of the beast in Philadelphia and beat the Phillies in a game 5? I hope I'm wrong. I hope tonight's a party. We haven't had a party at home in a very long time. So I hope I'm wrong, but the DNA of this Met team tells me, Tiki.
I gotta find my wallet. I gotta go find my wallet, find like whatever is in there, $100 bill or something, and give it to you so you can go buy some champagne, take your ass out to Citi Field, and pop the bottle.
I'm serious. Don't touch the money, bro.
I'm not touching the money. I'm giving you money. You need to get positive. You need to be ready for the celebration.
I think they're going
to
win.
It's been 24 years since you celebrated.
I know.
At home. 24 years. I was still playing football at that point.
Bro, I'll never forget it. The last time the Mets clinched a playoff series at home.
Yeah, right. Sean just said, Citi wasn't even built yet.
It wasn't even Citi. It was Shea Stadium. It was Mets Cardinals. It's when they won the National League pennant. And you know what I was doing on the car ride over? I actually took a train today because I parked my car at Citi Field, and then I'm going to Uber to Citi Field after the show is over. Hopefully, I get you, someone listening, as my Uber driver. That's like my dream. I get into the Uber, I'm on the way to Citi, and the guy or gal's like, oh, yeah, I hate you, but Tiki's awesome. That's exactly, Sean's awesome, too.
I was just listening to you. I'm glad you got in my car.
Right.
Actually, Evan wouldn't like that because he wants to focus on the game.
Right, that's a good point. Don't talk to me.
By the way, that's why I'm taking the Uber, so I can watch the game and score it in the backseat of the car. Like, that's my plan. I'm going to be in the Uber.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to score the Met game. It's going to take me to Citi Field. I'm going to get out, and then I'm going to join you minions, you crazies, you wackos, you crazy-ass Met fans who made that place electric last night. I'm going to be with you, baby. May not be till the seventh inning, but I'll be with you. But I was thinking about this. Last time the Mets clinched a playoff series at home, I started to ponder how many times the Yankees have since then. And I think my unofficial answer is 9 different times.
Oh, God.
I'm not even kidding. I counted 9 different times the Yankees had some kind of postseason celebration at Yankee Stadium since the Mets have had their last. And yes, as Sean pointed out, it wasn't even Citi Field. Mm. That is what we are so desperate for tonight. Can this Met team, building off of an impressive Game 3 victory, off of a brilliant performance by Sean Manaea, off of the clutch power of Pete Alonso and Jesse Winker, the great defense of Tyrone Taylor, the clutch hitting of Starling Marte and Jose Iglesias, can they tonight finish the job and send us as Met fans into a drunken, crazy lather? Because we deserve it, and it's been a long time since we have.
Right. As long as you come to work tomorrow, Evan, that's all we talk about.
Oh, I'll be here tomorrow.
Right. He's got to be here tomorrow to talk about it. But, I mean, why not believe that? Why not expect that, I think, is the bigger question. Because this team has been so good. They have been absolutely clutch. And they put themselves in those positions, as you rightly pointed out, Evan. But they're the better team. They have the better pitching staff right now. They have the better clutch hitters right now. They've been the best team in baseball. You should expect this to happen. So I'm imploring you, go out to Citi Field, celebrate, pop the bottles, and be a part of this because it's awesome. You don't know when it's coming again. You don't know which one of these one-year contracts they're holding on to again. You don't know what kind of, roster with Pete Alonso, maybe here, maybe not. You don't know. It's right here.
By the way, you are so right about that. And I want people to understand what you said and how I've tried to say this over the years many times and it always comes across negative, but you laid it out beautifully. The Mets are owned by Steve Cohen and we all believe in him. The Mets have a lot of money and we love it. The Mets have a lot of good young players and we all love it. It's not negative to say you never know when you're going to be back, but the truth is you never know when you're going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's a weird game. When you think you have it figured out, you get punched in the face. And what I implore Met fans to believe, and you basically did it to me, and I agree, is we need to cherish this, but not just cherish it. We need to take advantage of this.
Mm.
This is becoming, as a Met fan, a year in which they have to finish the job. And I know that sounds so nuts from what we thought in May and June, but how often do you have the magic that this team has? How often do you have the pizzazz and the fun gimmicks that this team has? How often do you have numerous pitchers having close to career seasons? How often? Like, this is a moment where not only do they have to beat the Philadelphia Phillies, they've got to. I'll be devastated. I think we all would be if we end up losing to this team. But it's more than that. This team could win the whole freaking thing. And don't tell me, but we didn't expect it. Isn't this fun? We'll be back next year. Juan Soto this. Pete Alonso. you don't know. And I felt that way in 2015. I did. As they were going on that run, as it got closer to the finish, the pressure actually started to build. It went from, wow, the season sort of came out of nowhere, because 2015 sort of did, to, oh my God, we're about to go to the World Series. Oh my God, we better win it. And I think that's happening right now as Met fans. Like, it's no longer what we thought in April or what we thought in March. It's, this team can win it all. And it almost becomes, this team better win it all. Because how often do you have the magic that this baseball team has?
Very rarely. Very rarely do you have the drama that this team has.
Right.
Because it's been every step of the way. As good as it has felt, being one of the best teams, the start made you like question whether it was a reality. Can you catch the Braves? No. Oh, well, we caught the Braves. Can we beat the Braves in a one day doubleheader because MLB screwed up the end of the season with weather delays, etc.? Yes, you did it, right? You've done it every step of the way. Why not continue to believe that that's going to happen and not have negativity?
Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. A lot of Yankees to get to, a lot of Jets to get to, Giants as well. Let's get right to your phone calls. A lot of Met fans are on their way. A 5:08 first pitch this late afternoon for a potential clincher, something we have not seen in a home stadium for the New York Mets since October of 2000 when they won the National League pennant, and my bladder almost broke. True story. I had to go to the bathroom so bad, but I would not go to the bathroom until that final out was recorded, and they finally got it. Timo Perez jumped into the air. Mike Hampton was carried in the air, and the New York Mets were going to the World Series. And then I waited about another 15 minutes because I was celebrating, and I finally went to the bathroom. One of the greatest feelings I've ever had. Ryan is in Maplewood, New Jersey. How we doing, Ryan?
Pretty good. How are you?
Well, good. What's up, man?
Awesome, man. What's up?
So you're so, Evan, you're so lucky you have Tiki as a co-host, because you are so wrong and he is so right. Why not? The only thing you're right about is you have to cherish this. I'm on the way to the game with my 7-year-old in the backseat.
I love it.
Went to school early. Bought these tickets. Why not? What is wrong with you? You and I are the same age. You have been so battered and so broken that you cannot see the positivity that is this team.
I just said I think they're going to lose and then win game five. Isn't that ultimately positive?
No,
I think
they're going to win now.
No. You need positive vibes into this. You walk into this game and you act like they're going to lose. That's loser talk.
Yeah, I know. I got it, Ryan, and I'm glad you and your 7-year-old have the positive vibes. I'm trying to eliminate the loser vibes. Positive Tommy's done a great job of trying to get it out of my system.
I believe in Positive Tommy.
It's still a little bit there. Like, it still exists. As much as I try to completely exercise the negativity demons, they're, like, still deep in my soul.
So, Tommy from Kew Gardens here. Thanks for taking my call. You said you think the Mets are going to lose tonight, or you fear? Let's do a little psychology session here.
That's a great question.
Because there's a part of me, and I know how you tick,
yeah,
that think the Dodgers are sending this to five, the Mets lose tonight, and that start time on Friday, you're thinking of worst case scenario. So let's get you. What do you really, from the team you've watched, you've watched this year, and everything Tiki's told you, everything positive Tommy's told you, you should believe they're going to win tonight.
I don't, because everything I've seen this year is they're going to make it very exciting till the very end and give you the roller coaster of emotions. I mean, think back to game two against Milwaukee, and think back to 161 against Atlanta, and even that entire road trip. Like, the evidence actually supports what I'm saying, which is, this is the way they operate. They take you until that moment of doom where you're about to get eliminated by the Brewers or about to lose a heartbreaker to Atlanta, and then something amazing happens. I hope they close it out tonight. And I hope they close it out tonight, not just for my own agita or for your own agita. I hope they close it out tonight, and this isn't for me, but for the 41,000 people that are going to be in that building, because we truly do deserve that. Like, 2015 was an incredible run. Every celebration was on the road. Every celebration was at a bar or was with your family, which is cool in its own right. But we need that 44,000 people side by side, spreading germs on each other, kissing people you don't even know, not in an inappropriate way.
Easy, Tiger.
And celebrating. Like, again, the Yankee fan has done it 9 different times since the Mets have done it. So I want it badly. So in a long-winded way to answer your question, both. I fear it, and I think it. Good answer, Tommy?
Yes, you were very honest there. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this morning, and Evan, you sort of alluded to it, where we made the World Series, then we waited 15 years. Now we're 9 years. And I thought about, like, the younger Met fan and what their experience, how much fun this is. And my message to them would be, enjoy this and embrace this.
You're right.
Because you're right. You don't ever know when you're going to get it, if you're going to get it. So enjoy every single second from it. Skip school. Go to the game.
You know,
stay up late. Do whatever you have to do.
You know what it is? And this year's not a great example, guys, because this year, no, there hasn't been a great team. I think we'd all admit that. It has been one of the most even years in baseball.
Yeah.
But over the last few years, there's been a lot of great regular season teams. And what happens come October? A lot of those regular season teams, you know, they stub their toe.
Right.
They get knocked out. And it's a reminder that that's what baseball is. So you not only need to get hot at the right time, you need magic at the right time. And when your baseball team has that magic, you want to seal the deal.
Right.
Now you want to finish it.
And you have all the... You have the emotion, obviously. You have the clutchness, as we've mentioned multiple times. You have the statistics that you can just look at, from Manaea last night to Quintana, what he's been over the last five or six starts, to the stat that I'm looking at right now on television, that the Mets lead Major League Baseball with 34 runs.
Well,
they've
also played the most games, if we're being
fair. Of course, but whatever. You're scoring runs.
Yes.
Right? You're doing everything. You gotta believe.
Met fan. Oh, I love when you say that. Met fans, you gotta believe. That's an original line. Hey, I've never heard
it
that.
It just popped into my head.
You just created it out of nowhere.
Oh, I'm good like that.
Do you believe as you're on your way to Citi Field? Yankee fans, how about you? We'll get to you coming up as well. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Jets, Yankees, Giants coming up on this program throughout this wonderful Wednesday afternoon. The Met lineup featured one change. It's a change that always has to happen when they're facing a lefty, and that's Jesse Winker, who is the perfect ass for the New York Mets, according to Tiki Barber. Put that on a t-shirt. Hit that mammoth home run yesterday after almost hitting a home run in his previous at-bat. Because the Phillies are starting Ranger Suarez as a lefty, he's out of the lineup. J.D. Martinez is starting at DH, which makes perfect sense. The only problem, it's not even a problem, it's more a dilemma, that Mendy faces when he starts J.D. Martinez is that pinch hitting JD for Winker is so obvious when a lefty comes in. It's easy. Like, of course, yes, right. Lefty on the mound. You're going to go to JD. It's much more difficult to do the opposite. You don't see it as often. And I think what makes it very difficult is that the Philadelphia Phillies have five lefties in their bullpen. So if you go to Jesse Winker in the fifth or sixth or seventh inning, there's a chance a little bit later Winker's going to be in that spot in which he's facing a lefty, which is less than ideal.
It's all right. Don't just go oppo.
Sounds good. But we've seen it from Mendy. He's less aggressive pinch hitting Winker for JD than he is JD for Winker. The other thing to keep an eye on tonight, and this is a huge X factor in this game. I mentioned this a little bit on my Rico Bronya last night, and that's David Peterson. David Peterson clearly would need to be available. It's 3 days rest. He did not throw that many pitches back in game one when he was the bulk guy after Kodai Senga. He's already shown he could come out of the bullpen. Remember, he saved game three against Milwaukee.
Yep.
Did the bulk thing against the Phillies in game one. He's not starting game five, though he'll certainly be in the mix of available. David Peterson right now, to me, is in that circle of trust. One of those relievers, if it's Kyle Schwarber, if it's Bryce Harper, even if it's a righty, he may have to get a big out tonight. Because that's the one negative about this Met team right now. Who in the bullpen do you fully trust?
Well, he's one. And previously, I wouldn't have because of his earlier stints with the Mets and out of the bullpen. He was never great. And so I think he's been fantastic this postseason and at the end of the regular season as well. So you don't want to tax Edwin Diaz. We saw this already. You don't want to tax Edwin Diaz. And so you have to have somebody else who you can believe in. And it's probably David Peterson, but... I mean, at what point does it become necessary to say, Edwin, you're paid to be this guy, be that guy?
Well, I think they're going to. It may be in the seventh or eighth inning, but Edwin Diaz is going to be asked to get the biggest outs.
But I don't love that, though.
I think it's necessary in the right spot.
We just saw that backfire.
But did it backfire? Because in the seventh inning, he struck out Kyle Schwarber with guys on base.
But then he wasn't available when you needed him.
Well, no, he didn't pitch well in the eighth inning.
Right.
I definitely understand that. But I do not like, and I'm glad that Mendy does this. It's different with the Yankees because they don't have that obvious top-end reliever, even though Luke Weaver's become that. I like using my best reliever in the biggest situation. And we've seen Mendy do that with Edwin Diaz. The problem right now with this Met bullpen is, you know, Ryan Stanek has kind of moved into the circle of trust. Phil Maton has struggled his last few appearances. Jose Budo has struggled his last few appearances. Who in this bullpen are you fully trusting? It's not a long list. That's why when you get 7+ out of Sean Manaea,
right,
it's a celebration.
Stanek,
Peterson, Diaz.
Yeah, it's not a long list.
No.
Reed Garrett's sort of there as
right,
well.
Right, right. But it's those three.
Yeah. Toll-free numbers, 888-808-8109.
All right, we have some breaking Mets news.
Mets news?
For anybody heading out to the game, are you aware of who's throwing out the first pitch tonight?
Yes, why don't you tell the people?
Daniel Murphy is throwing out the first pitch. Are you aware of who's catching the first pitch?
That I don't know.
They have announced this.
Let me guess. Sandy Alderson, since he couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Okay.
No.
Bartolo Colon.
Oh, God.
They are reaching into the bag of tricks once more, the Mets.
Look,
big
they,
sexy.
But that's all right.
Met fans are going to love it, okay?
Of course they. Why that reaction?
Because Daniel Murphy's a Met legend. He really is. What he did in 2015, he never has to buy a drink at Citi Field ever again. Mm. Bartolo Colon's a cartoon character. I mean, come on.
Oh, how dare you besmirch Big Sexy. He's a legend, too.
What's wrong with being a caricature?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying that...
I think it's good.
You know who you should throw the ball to? Or maybe vice versa. Daniel catches. Matt Harvey. Look, say what you want about Matt Harvey. Mm. Matt Harvey left his career on the field at Citi Field. Like, literally. He basically died for us.
Mm.
That's what Matt Harvey did.
But Matt Harvey's not fat.
Right. He's not fat. I have nothing against Bartolo Colon. He's just become like this larger-than-life caricature.
But the Mets season's been about that. He was right. Grimace before he was Grimace.
Right. You got Grimace in the stands all over the place, riding the subway. You got OMG. You got everything.
You got a pumpkin now.
Exactly.
The power of the pumpkin.
I'm glad that didn't catch on.
Sean's actually right, though. Bartolo Colon was Grimace before Grimace was Grimace. Very fair point. EJ's in Staten Island. What's up, EJ? EJ.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good, EJ.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? So last night, Tuesday morning at 2:30 in the morning, I get told that I have to get my appendix removed.
Oh,
I'm like, wow, that sucks. But what really sucks is that they told me it's not going to be until later on in the day. I'm sitting here, I'm like, damn, I might miss the Mets game. And I missed like most of it. I missed probably up until like the sixth inning.
Wow.
But to wake up to one, see Pete have his moment that he's been needing forever in Citi Field, and especially in the playoffs. Then you have Jesse Winker, who's the damn dog. Like, he just stood there and just stared at that. Mm-hmm. And then you see him afterwards with his grills. Man, he's the guy he's the man that we've been needing to be able to just slap back at other teams.
Well, good for you. How do you feel after a surgery like that? You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I'm just missing an appendix.
No. Yeah, who needs an appendix, right?
It's a useless organ.
Dude, if I was told I need surgery during a Met playoff game, I think I'd put my life on the line and say, you know what, screw it. Can we push it off a few hours? Like, is that possible?
Yeah, until it busts and you die of toxic.
Yeah, that'd be a bad way to go. How'd you die? I'm in heaven. How'd you die? Yeah, I pushed off my appendix coming out for a division series game between the Mets and the Phillies. What's funny about Jesse Winker is that this season is filled with, can you believe this? Can you believe that? Mm. You know, it's filled with it. Hey, if I could go back and call up WFAN in April to any of the radio shows and say, hey, guys, I think the Mets are going to be up 2-1 again on the Phillies in the division series, they would have hung up on you.
Of course.
Us too. We would have joined in. But maybe the craziest thing that's happened this season is the fact that Jesse Winker, who we hated for 5 years, has now become a cult hero.
Well, that's what I mean. He's the perfect ass.
Yeah. Build that ass first.
Right.
And you
hate him until he's yours.
Yes, we hated that ass.
Right.
We couldn't stand Jesse Winker.
Right.
I was watching his postgame last night, and he made this comment about, you know, it's always been a dream of mine to play for the Mets. And the reporter's like, really, when did that dream start? And Winker's like, you know the history, right? He's like alluding to it. Like, do you want me to retell you the story? Basically, we hated his guts. That's the story. Jesse Winker was a giant, giant douche.
Right.
And he waved at us, and he mocked us, and he killed us. To his credit, he would come through.
Do you think, actually, in his mind, at some point, he was like, I would love to play for this team.
Yeah.
And get them to love me.
Yes.
They hate me so much right now.
Yes.
But if I'm here, they'll love me.
Yes. I think as he used to wave at us, I think Wink deep down said, I'm going to be here someday.
Mm.
Now, I didn't necessarily envision it until earlier this season when he killed the Mets again on the 4th of July. And my attitude was, can we just trade for this guy so he doesn't kill us? Like, because what we worst case scenario, he gets traded to the Phillies and he's demolishing the Mets right. at a later date. But Jesse Winker becoming an American cult hero to Met fans may be the biggest swerve of 2020.
No, it makes perfect sense now. Jesse Winker did all that stuff to us as Met fans in this franchise because he wanted to be here. Remember when we were little kids and we had a crush on a girl and we didn't know how to tell her, so yeah. we'd pull her hair or start a rumor that she had cooties? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to show his love for us, so he acted that way. And now he's here.
And now we love him.
And now he's the hero.
I'll tell you, give him an extension right now. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Met for life. I need that. I need that really? Ass on my team for a while.
Met for life? Build that ass first.
Yeah, we need that ass, Tiki. You said
Met for life.
Yeah, until he starts hitting 210 or pulling him out of the building.
I was going to say, maybe let him win a championship first. Yeah. And then he can have a consolation Met for life. Yeah,
there are a lot of guys that are free agents at the end of the year, and I never want to think about it, never want to talk about it. But there are three guys individual who I look at, and I'm like, oh, my God, that guy can never be on another team. Number one is our tribal chief, Sean Manaea.
Acknowledge me.
Well, he's going to get paid. You're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, and that's maybe the issue. Mm-hmm. Number two is Jesse Winker, but really number one, but number three, this guy could never play for another team. Period, stop. And you know who I'm talking about.
Mark Vientos?
Well, he's here for a while. I don't have to worry about that. Oh, my God. Jose Iglesias. Like, that guy can't be on another team?
That's a good point.
Are you kidding
me? He can't take magic, even if it's not, he's not hitting 380.
No. You
He can't take the magic elsewhere.
Cannot take that. He's a Met for life. Like, we're married to him.
He's got to be like the Roger Dorn. He's just got to hang around forever. I can't get rid of him.
In fact, of those three guys, our tribal chief of the rotation, the ass that we need in Jesse Winker, I'd actually argue that Iglesias is the number one guy that can never play for another team.
Definitely.
Dude, he's the whole reason this turned around. He wrote a pop song.
You might have an ace, though.
I know. No, it's tough,
I'm
man.
Telling you.
The only thing I ask from Sean Manaea is to finish the job here as being the tribal chief of the rotation, and I think he needs to change his walkout music when he's warming up.
What is it?
To Roman Reigns' theme song.
Acknowledge me!
Because we acknowledge him, so I think he needs to be our chief.
Does everything have to be wrestling with you, Met fans?
Sometimes, yes. Have you seen this season?
Yeah, I guess.
This is why they believe that they'll lose tonight and win game five, because that would be the script that...
Triple H, don't say the other guy!
I was going
careful.
To. That Triple H would write
yes.
to keep our attention.
Yeah, that's how you finish the job. You don't do it in game... Now, I want it to be game four. I think that's actually a better story if I could argue with the script writers. I think it's more deserving of us as Met fans to celebrate as opposed to the 12 Met fans that go to Philly Friday trying to escape without being killed, essentially. Because that's really what it would be like if you went to Philly on Friday. Like, you'd be escaping after a win.
Are you going?
Trying to avoid death.
Are you going?
I am not going. I'm doing a show with you, bro.
I mean, I'm about to kick you out of here at some point. So. I will be here Friday. I am here Friday.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
Well, then I got a better idea. Why don't we all just go to Philadelphia together?
Let's run it back, baby.
Run it back. Sean is totally out on that. Right? He's I'm not dealing with that crap again.
Hey, let me look at flights to Denver on Friday night.
Let's go to John and Patterson. How are you, John? What's up, John?
I'll make a few quick points on the Mets. Number one with the Mets, everyone's so surprised about the run they're making now and how, you know, it's a miracle, man, how we're only a game away from the NLCS. But we're the best team in baseball since June. Why is it such a surprise? Because, the best team in baseball since
because
June.
Even though, like, John, you're right. And we were going through the numbers before. Like, their record since June 7th is 62-38. It's one of the best records in baseball. Mm-hmm. Even though they've been such a good team for so long, I still think getting in and then winning the way they have, I think that's what the surprise is. Like, you're not genuinely surprised that they're in the spot that they're in right now?
Yeah, but every team, they come into postseason, you're 0-0. Anything could happen from there. And the 2015 Mets were not the best team there, and they made it to the World Series. I don't get the whole big surprise. No, shouldn't we be here? Should we be either a game away?
John, I will answer for Met fans like Evan.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're not used to success.
I think that's a part of it.
They're not used to it. Good things happening to them.
You know, Tiki, you and John say things that are very rational and sensible.
Yes.
Like Tiki said, top of the show, dude, the Mets have been the best team in baseball since June. Why are we taking a knee to the Philadelphia Phillies? I mean, the Phillies have been 10 games worse than the Mets since June. Like, the Mets are the better team. And you're right. Like, the numbers back you up. John calls up and says, guys, I'm confused. Why are we surprised? This is the best team since June. Everybody starts over in the playoffs. I think just everything about this season contributes to the surprise of the spot that they're in.
you know, between being 11 games under 500, mm-hmm. Jorge Lopez throwing his glove, to the drama of the final Monday of the regular season, to the way they won Game 3 against Milwaukee, I think a lot of it is how they've done it. It's not as if the Mets dominated their way into the playoffs, blew through the wild card series, and just blew through the Phillies. Like, they've had a lot of drama to get to this point.
It hasn't been easy.
Right.
At any stage, it hasn't been easy.
Right.
And so why would it be now? That's the mentality. But the actuality is that you are better. You have better pitching right now, and you have better clutch hitting, period.
Are they better if they lose the next two games, though?
No, but...
Okay, well,
but I don't think they're losing the next two games. I don't think they're losing the next game.
Oh, man. Say it again, Tiki.
They're not losing the next game.
They're not losing tonight?
They're not losing.
Say it louder.
The next game, was tonight.
Say it with more pizzazz.
Stop before I kick you out and send you to city.
I mean, I've been just turning me on when he says it. I gotta be honest with you. Donna's in Oceanside. What's up, Donna?
Hi, Evan. I'm a longtime fan listener. Craig Carton, retired school teacher. Craig Carton actually came to my class on Read Across America Day and read a Dr. Seuss story.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Which one? Do you remember which one?
Cat in the Hat. He took a couple of them.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Green Eggs and Ham. And hello, Tiki, this is a Mets Giants house, not Mets Jets.
Love it.
Okay, so.
That's like Loogie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here. My husband and I are married 40 years this September, so we decided to go on a cruise September 29th to October 6th because the Mets sucked in May. I said, let's go.
Right.
But Tommy Lou Gowers tweets every single day, don't make vacation plans in October. The Mets will be playing baseball. And I read this every day, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And my family's like, you're not missing this series. I said, they break my heart every single year. I'm just going. I break my heart every year. On the cruise, I got to see an ESPN sports bar game one of the Monday doubleheader, and they didn't break my heart. It was amazing.
Wow.
My heart is pumping. I'm so nervous for tonight. I'm ready to clinch. I love you guys.
Wow.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Well, Donna, congratulations on pulling this off. You went on the vacation, so you ignore Tommy.
And didn't miss anything.
You didn't miss anything, and now you're back in time for the continuation of the run.
Right.
I'm kind
of
like...
You got the best of both worlds.
She got the best of both worlds, but she says, so I'm reading Tommy's tweets, don't make vacation plans, which you've been doing since what, June? Is that how long this has been going on?
It's been going on since
Tommy
June.
Made a small... but critical era.
What was the era?
Don't make plans for mid-October.
Oh. He wasn't confident enough.
Yeah.
Or smart enough.
He just figured it would be a couple of days.
I just thought October.
He also didn't include early November, if he was being real positive.
Well, that's getting nuts now. And that could be the case. But it worked out for Donna. She got to go on her cruise vacation. She got to see the Mets win games. And now she's back.
Yeah.
And maybe she'll have a chance to go to League Championship Series games if the Mets can seal the job tonight or Friday.
All right.
Brandon's in Middleton. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Hey, so I just had some beef with Sean and something he said yesterday about the Mets.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he pretty much was saying the Mets are done and they aren't going to win another game in the series. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering why he would say that.
Because he's a troll?
Yeah, he's a troll.
Oh, Evan, you agreed with me.
I didn't agree with you.
You understood where I was coming from.
Well, don't turn this on me. Brandon's asking you a question, a very good question. Why did you come on the radio yesterday and say, hey, I think the Mets have won their final game? That's what you said.
Because something about the way they lost game two felt different than the rest of the Met run and everybody's reaction.
Mm.
Shockingly, like most of our sports opinions and my sports opinion, I was wrong.
That's okay. I appreciate you taking the L. I took a lot of L's yesterday during the Robert Saleh coaching firing discussion. So I will ask you a new question here just a couple of hours before first pitch of game four. Do you think the New York Mets win today and close out the Philadelphia Phillies?
I'm with you. I think they lose today on an Edwin Diaz blown save.
Shut up.
I think they win game five Friday.
Oh, God. If they lose this game on an Edwin Diaz blown save, living through that for the next how many hours, 36 hours, is going to be a living hell.
Yeah, and we have to live through it with you. So I'm not rooting for it because I don't want to live through
that
living hell.
He wants to be wrong. That's what it is. Just like with his picks.
Just my gut tells me.
His picks this past weekend.
I was 3-0 this past
week. I know, but you want it to go the other way.
Oh, right. Good point.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope you're wrong. Because there are ways you can lose a game, and then there are ways you can lose a game. And losing a game like that would be very, that would be.
City Field partying, holding hands, swaying back and forth, and then boom!
Oh, my God.
Diaz lit up.
Oh, God. Like, as I'm walking in.
Oh, perfect.
I made it just in time. The Mets are about to celebrate. And Kyle Schwarber hits one 10,000 feet.
Grimace costume strolling across the concourse.
You know what's weird, though, Sean? Like, if that happened, if that negative scenario you described happened, and it's not that crazy only because the Mets have lost two games in the postseason, they blew both games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. They had a lead in the eighth inning in both games that they lost. Granted, they were on the road. I almost get the vibe from a lot of Mets fans that they would still be confident.
They should be.
Yeah. Hey, here's the thing about Philadelphia. So it is a very loud place. It's a very electric place. But do you know that the Philadelphia Phillies in their last, let me count it up, five home games, I think, are 1-4.
Wow.
Think about that for a second.
So they haven't had home field advantage.
I apologize. I think it's 1-3. Because remember, they lost games 6 and 7 of the NLCS.
Oh, you're talking about the postseason. You're talking about the postseason.
Yeah, forget the regular season, because I think a game in September is very, very different. I'm talking about the electricity of the bank, as everyone loves to call it, where you fear your life when you walk in, and Philly fans like think that's a cool thing.
Yeah, the fans might, but the players,
right?
It's a different story.
Right. They've lost 3 out of their last 4 home games, so it's not as if you can't win there. To me, the concern wouldn't be they can't win in Philadelphia. I think the concern is Zach Wheeler. He's a great pitcher. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And so it kind of reminds me of 1999, in which the Mets played a game 4 at home, and there was that pending doom of, oh my God, they got to face Randy Johnson. And not that Zach Wheeler's Randy Johnson, but he is a top-level arm.
Right.
But I don't think it's like they can't win in Philadelphia, because that's, it's a fallacy. Like, that's, it's just a fake thing that Philly fans like to tell themselves. They're very loud. They're very excited. They're 1-3 in their last 4 games at home, and 2 of them were elimination games against the Diamondbacks.
But if you lose in the fashion I'm saying you lose, you might see Zach Wheeler tonight, which could take him out for a game 5.
I don't think there's any scenario we see Zach Wheeler tonight. I think that
Thompson did acknowledge it.
I think that Rob Thompson made a decision. He can acknowledge whatever he wants. I'm giving you my prediction. Mm. Right? I think when Rob Thompson decided, I'm going to trust Ranger Suarez, who has not pitched well in a month.
Yep.
But he has had postseason success. I'm going to trust Ranger Suarez. I'm holding Zach off to game 5. I'm not pushing him up on 3 days rest. That is a full declaration that you are being, hey, Zach's just for game 5. Because if you're going to use Zach Wheeler in game 4, you start him. I'm sorry. You don't use him out of the bullpen. You start the guy. And it was weird because last night after the Mets won, I was pondering, as a Met fan, what do I want?
Who do you want to see, you mean?
And I actually preferred they push up Zach Wheeler, with the thought being...
Why? Because if you get to game 5, you have an inferior starter now.
Yeah, it's Christopher Sanchez, it's Ranger Suarez, and no offense to those guys, they're not Zach Wheeler.
That's just the we're going to blow game 4, though. It's negativity ultimately coming back to the forefront.
Well, it's not negativity, though. It's knowing what's in store for you in a game 5. And I'll give you an older example.
Don't get the game 5.
No, I agree with you, but it puts the pressure on you to close them out. In 1986, when they played game 6 against the Astros.
The Mets are feeling pressure right now?
The Mets feel pressure. No.
I think they're feeling so confident in themselves.
Yeah, but I'm not a player.
I know, but I'm just saying, from a player, because that's all that matters. Who cares what the fans think? But from a player standpoint, you have to feel uber confident.
Oh, no doubt.
I
don't think they think about game 5 at all.
No.
But in 86, when the Mets played game 6 against the Astros, there was the looming threat of Mike Scott in game 7. And part of what made that game a classic, and it was one of the greatest games ever played, was not that if the Mets lost, they were eliminated. It was if the Mets lost, oh my God, they got to face a guy they can't hit in Mike Scott. Now, we don't know what would have happened. Maybe the 86 Mets would have finally got to him. We have no idea. But that was the looming threat of game 6. The looming threat of this game tonight is not the crowd in Philadelphia. It's Zach Wheeler.
But it's sports. Remember that looming threat? Here you go, Yankee fans, of Corey Kluber in game 5. And what did Didi Gaillard twice?
You're right.
Sometimes sports, you write the script, then the script goes, we're good.
No, it doesn't mean they can't beat him or they can't hit him. But look, it's the same thing with Mike Scott in 86. We don't know what happened because the Mets never had to play that game.
Right.
Same thing with Randy Johnson in 1999. But it is a looming threat that, to me as a fan, puts the pressure on, let's get it done now.
And let's reverse this. If we were, you know, this was the Mets not going with their ace in game 4, the Phillies could go home here without having Wheeler pitch twice. That's a ballsy move pitching him tonight.
You think they made a mistake?
I think they should have started Wheeler.
Yeah.
Only because if you lose, you have to now deal with a backlash and a fan base that has fallen short a few times, and your ace never got to pitch twice.
Yeah, it's a tough one, because I was saying this last night on the Rico, and it's weird to say this. As a Met fan, I wanted them to push him up, and if I'm a Philly fan, I completely agree with you that I can't have my season end with my best pitcher not having pitched since game 1.
Yeah.
So I agree with you on that, but I also think the thought is Zach Wheeler has never pitched on 3 days rest, ever.
He's never done it. And there's that, well, what is he going to be?
Yeah.
He's never done this before. And then also, like, your options in game five, while they're not terrible, are not Zach Wheeler on full rest. And I think that's the dilemma that Rob Thompson
But you get there and you piece it together. You got to get to game five first. And I think once you get there, you figure it out. That would just be me if this was the Mets.
Is has the Mets reached a level where Sean Manaea would be that guy in the next round?
Yes.
Where we're pushing him on 3 days rest?
Mm. He's the tribal chief.
But the Mets have a good rotation.
Yeah.
And they have Quintana.
And you have Senga.
Yeah.
But he's the head of the table.
He is the head of the table.
He keeps making the reference.
No, but you wonder now, Sean. Dude, the Mets put this out on Twitter. I don't know if he's a wrestling fan or not, but he might walk around telling people to acknowledge him. You don't want to mess with that bloodline stuff. Well, see with The Rock and Roman.
I acknowledge Sean Manaea. I definitely do.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.